when Jesus spoke, God's people were the nation of the Jews, Israel. There was a land they lived in, and there was a temple at which they went to make sacrifices and to worship. Now today, God's people are all over the world. Christian church, believers. We have no temple, but we worship God by the Spirit and in truth. In every place where people believe in Jesus Christ, there are God's people today. Now that's a great change that's happened. And how did it happen? That's what Mark chapter 13 is about. We began last week. God tore down and he then built up again. His old order he took apart and he built a new one. Now these apostles of Jesus, they were living during those times of change. Those times of change had really, they'd now come. Jesus had come to Jerusalem, he'd been to the temple, he'd condemned what he'd seen there. He was now going to the cross. He was now going to die, to rise again, to go to the right hand of God. And his kingdom was going to come with power, beginning especially at the day of Pentecost. The church would be born. Gospel would go out to the nations. And Jesus was making his disciples ready for that great change. Now last week we read about the birth pains, they were called, the signs that it would be coming, and the troubles that they would go through. And then the great climax itself, when the armies of Rome would come to Jerusalem and destroy it, and destroy the temple, so not even one stone was left on top of another. And now Jesus begins to move forward to describe the changes that would then come. Now this is part of our story. We don't meet in the land of Israel. We don't go to the temple on Mount Olivet. We have no animal sacrifices. He's talking about the change that came for us. So let's look verse 24 to 27 firstly. These are about the coming of the Son of Man. Now, many people think that these verses are about his second coming, his coming at the end of time, the end of the universe. Now, that's very easy to understand why we might think it says that. Perhaps you'll be very surprised if I say it's not about that. It's easy to believe that this is about the end of time, because in verse 24, well, the sun goes dark and the moon stops giving light, the stars fall out of the sky, verse 25. Verse 26, the Son of Man comes on the clouds. And so you say, well, what could be clearer? You know, the sun's still up there, isn't it? And you're still seeing the moon every night, and the stars are still there, and I haven't seen the Son of Man coming on the clouds, so surely this is about the future and the second coming. Well, let me show you some of the prophets using these words and what the prophets meant when they used those words. Go to prophet Ezekiel. So that comes after Daniel, which we read earlier. Ezekiel chapter 32. So what I'm trying to do is show you that this was the normal way that the prophets spoke about a huge change in God's dealings with men. They used the language of the physical world to describe huge changes in the spiritual world. Now, Ezekiel chapter 32, if you look at verse 2, Ezekiel is told to take up a lament about Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Ezekiel 32 is about a judgment on Egypt. If you come down to verse 7, he says, when I snuff you out, Egypt, I will cover the heavens and darken their stars. I will cover the sun with a cloud. The moon will not give its light. All the shining lights in the heaven I will darken over you. I will bring darkness over your land, declares the Sovereign Lord. If we go back a few books to Isaiah, we'll go back to Isaiah, the prophet. Chapter 34 of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 34, judgment against various nations, but especially Edom. Edom, which was to the south and east of Israel. See, in verse 5, it's about Edom. My sword has drunk its fill in the heavens. See, it descends in judgment on Edom, the people I've totally destroyed. But look at verse 4. Verse 4, he says, all the stars of the heavens will be dissolved. The sky rolled up like a scroll. All the starry host will fall, like withered leaves from the vine, like shriveled figs from the fig tree. See, there's many passages like this. But when God spoke judgment against a nation, this was the language he used. We use the same language today. You might say, the sky is falling in, or the sky is going to fall in. We speak about a new world order, or about the world being shaken. Or there's a day, and they say, oh, the world changed forever on that day. Or we say that it was an earth-shattering event. And we use these kind of words. We talk about the physical world, but actually the physical world is just the same. If you were up in the sky and you looked down with your telescope, it's just the same. Well, that's what Jesus is doing, Mark chapter 13. He's saying everything is going to change. God's dealings with the nations are going to turn right around. It's going to be very radical and new. The old is going to pass away, the new is going to come. The old is the Jewish order, the new is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in all nations. Now, the real passage we have to look at is the prophet Daniel. So that's after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 7. It was our reading. But in this chapter in Daniel, the Son of Man comes on the clouds of heaven. And you'll see it's not the second coming. No, it's his rising to the right hand of God and his coming in power as the Christian church takes root and as the Jewish order passes away. So let's just pick it up from verse 9. Let's pick it up from verse 1. Daniel has a dream. He has visions on his bed. Verse 2. He sees the four winds of heaven blowing across the sea. This is the chaos of the nations. In verse 3, he sees four great beasts coming out of the sea. These four great beasts are four great empires. Four great rulers who are going to come after Daniel. Now, if you're interested in world history, well, it's the Empire of Babylon, the Empire of Media Persia, the Empire of Greece, and then the Roman Empire, which was there in the days of Jesus. But he sees these four great empires and one replacing another, great violence, great strife. And it goes on. But then at last, verse 11, he sees a great judgment coming on the final beast. And verse 12, he sees the beasts having their power taken away, these empires losing their power. Although they continue for a bit, the nations of the world continue. But then verse 13. Last, he sees in his vision one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approaches the Ancient of Days. He comes to the throne of God. He's led into his presence. He's given authority, glory, sovereign power. All peoples, all nations, all men of every language worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So I meant to bring your attention too to verses 9 and 10, which show you we're in the throne room of God, we're in heaven. But here's the thing that happens. The Son of Man comes. This great man, this greatest of all men, he's given all power and all authority to reign forever. Now that is what's happening in the world. That is world history. When Jesus rose from the dead, he went to the right hand of God, he went into the throne room of God, God the Father saw all that Jesus had done, Jesus' perfect life, his perfect death on the cross for our sins. He saw Jesus had done everything he'd wanted. The Father was fully pleased with the Son. And then he gave to his Son power over all the nations. And Jesus began to use that power when the church began. And he said to his apostles, "All authority and power is given to me in heaven and on earth." Well, that was Daniel 7. And on the day of Pentecost, the church began. He poured out his Holy Spirit and he began bringing people into the church. That is Jesus coming on the clouds in glory. And if you're in Mark, you can just turn over a couple of pages into chapter 14 and verse 62. Chapter 14, 62. The high priest has just asked him, previous verse, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus, verse 62, says, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." He said that to the high priest who died a long, long time ago for us. But the high priest lived to see Jesus setting up his church and taking away the authority and power of the Jewish nation. So Jesus said to him, "You will see." So I ask, is that your big picture? As you think about history, as you think about the world today, is that what you think about? Because our country here in Kenya has its own story, doesn't it? It was a colony, then there was freedom, there was independence, it became a republic, and now, just in recent months, we've got a new constitution, and people are looking forward to Vision 2030. But that's just the story here for a few years in a little part of the world. And that story will change and different stories will come and different stories will go. But the big true story is that Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. And he is bringing people from all over the world to bow to him. And he is changing the nations. Have you bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you in submission to him? He's the King of the world. Have you honoured him as King? Or are you still in rebellion? Because there's only two choices. See, if there's a king, you can submit to him or you can rebel against him. I was in town and I see them selling books and I looked at the titles of the books. And one of them said, "The kingdom is future, not present." Well, part of the kingdom is future. The kingdom in glory is future. But actually, the kingdom is present. Jesus is the king now. Is he your king? Are you fighting against him? Have you yielded to him? Is he your Lord? Let's just go to Acts chapter 2. I know we've had a lot of turning to one place and another. There won't be a lot more after this one. Acts chapter 2, this is the day the church was born, which we call Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 and verses 16, it's up to 21. Peter's preaching. Great things have happened. The words of God are being declared in many different languages. People are hearing about the salvation which is in Jesus in their own mother tongue, even though the apostles and disciples had never learnt those tongues. People are saying, what's happening? But Peter, verse 16, says, "Know this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people." Now come to verse 19. "I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Then he goes on to explain that Jesus has come, lived, died, risen, and ascended. But do you notice there's the sun and the moon again? Signs in heaven. And Peter says, that's what's happening today. That is what is taking place. And surely he was taught that by the prophets of the Old Testament, but also by Jesus in Mark chapter 13. That the old things were passing away, and now the king was sitting on his throne. And what's Jesus doing now? That's in Mark 13, verse 27. He's sending his messengers, or his angels. It's the same word, actually. There's only one word in Greek, which means angel or messenger. So he's sending his angels or messengers, and he's gathering his chosen ones from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Throughout all the world, Jesus is bringing people to himself. Africa, Asia, Australia, America, Europe, every corner of the world, Jesus saves. Are you part of that work? If you're a believer now, are you spreading the truth about Jesus? Are you obeying his rule and showing others how to do it too? Are you telling them that he's the king and showing them how they can repent and trust in him? Because that's the great story of our time. Yes, Constitution, Vision 2030. These things have their place. But it's a very small place compared to this. Jesus is gathering his people. Has he gathered you? Are you gathering others? Well, that was my first point, and you'll be happy to know it's much longer than the other points. Okay, we're going now to verses 28 up to 31. Now, they won't all be that long. Verses 28 to 31. Jesus says, be prepared. And here, really, he wants you to know he's not joking. He's very serious. He says, you know the fig trees, verse 28. And they had many fig trees in Israel. It was a land full of them. Good, filling, tasty fruit from the fig tree. It was a very blessed place. And then when you watch what the fig tree is doing, you know what time it is. The twigs get tender, the leaves come out. You know that summer is about to appear. And here we have, or it seems we used to have, the seasons. And people knew when it would be dry, when they could plant, when they could harvest. They knew when the rains would come to cause the crops to grow. Well, people know how to read the sky. Sometimes Henry has said, you know, it's going to rain. We don't need to start the children's club now. And I've said, no, it doesn't look like rain to me. And that's because I know the sky in my country. But I'm almost always wrong. And it rains and we can't have the club and we go home again. But we can look at things in the world around us and we know what time it is. We know what's going to happen. We know what to expect. So Jesus said to his disciples, verse 29, when you see the signs I've spoken of, you know what's coming. Don't think you can just put it out of your mind. Don't think you can just dismiss my teaching and that you'll just get through somehow. No, be prepared. And he told them, verse 30, it would happen in their lifetime, at least for most of them. He said, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. So you know he wasn't talking about the second coming, because hasn't happened yet. And that generation passed away. All of them. Peter, James, John, Andrew, all the disciples. Long time ago. Now, some people say it really means this race. That this race of Jews will not pass away. Now why would Jesus say that? Who would ever doubt that the Jews would still be alive when the temple was destroyed and when Jerusalem was overthrown? You hardly need to tell them that, would you? You can study the Gospels, and the word generation always means, you know, a lifespan. So Jesus was telling them that they need to be awake. They needed to be alert. It was definitely going to happen. Verse 31. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Anything may change in the world, but the things Jesus said are still true. And nothing will change them. And you can rely upon them. Well, of course, that time has passed. And so what's here for us? Well, God wants us to be spiritually awake and alert at all times. I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. And God is always calling us to maturity. He's always saying to us, don't be children. So that things come to you and you never knew they were coming and you never realised. Don't be naive. Hebrews chapter 5, let me read verses 12 to 14. Here the apostle says, in fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, yet you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Have you been trained to distinguish good from evil? Is everything still a bit dark and fuzzy, hazy, hard to see for you? Or have you learned to be spiritually discerning? Are you maturing so that you can tell things? You can work out what's going on. You know what way the right way is through practice and experience. That you can see what's coming spiritually. Well, let's just take something else out of verse 31 as well. Even if the heavens and the earth pass away, the words of Jesus will remain. And if you're not saved, those words should really make you shudder, be afraid. Because we studied the book of Mark, and you know that Jesus spoke about judgment. He spoke about the anger of God against sin. And that he spoke about eternal hell. And don't fool yourself that those words are now gone and that you can forget them. Don't fool yourself that because you're still alive and the sun is shining, that you can continue without being converted, without the Holy Spirit making you a new person and bringing you to Jesus. Now, even if the whole world is destroyed, which one day it will be, yet the things Jesus has said are true, and you need him, and you need to flee to him as quickly as you can. Let's look at verses 32 to 37. And here Jesus says, watch, watch. So it's really continuing on the same lines. He says, be prepared. And now he says, watch. It'll be in that generation. But verse 32, he says, you can't know the day or the hour. He says, even the angels in heaven don't know the day or the hour. Then he says something very surprising. He says, nor the Son, but only the Father. Of course, this verse is then loved by people who say that Jesus is not God. As they say, look, the Son doesn't know when the day or the hour is. Well, what could this verse mean? Well, Jesus certainly is God, because the Bible says that Jesus was there in the beginning. He's the eternal Word. That he was with God in the beginning and that he was God. Indeed, that he is God. The Word is God. So what can this verse mean? Well, possibly it means that it's not part of the knowledge given to him in his work as the Messiah, as the Saviour. That as the great shepherd of his people, God didn't give him this truth for them then to know, so that they could know the day or the hour. So it's like it's not part of his assignment. It's not part of his commission. Or possibly it could mean that though in his divine nature he knew all things, that he didn't bring this knowledge into his human nature. Now in his human nature he's like us in many ways, in the essential ways. He had no sin, but in everything that makes us human, he was human. So he was a baby. He was weaned. He learnt. He grew. And so as a human, he didn't know everything. Luke's gospel says he grew in wisdom. And so perhaps it means that, though, of course, he knew everything in his divine nature, yet in his human nature, that knowledge was not given to him. But the point, of course, is that you shouldn't ask Jesus to know the day and the hour, because he won't tell you. Those disciples just had to trust Jesus. And when the time came, if they were watching, then they'd be ready. But if they weren't watching, then they wouldn't be ready. And that's how it is for us in many things. Jesus doesn't tell you the day and the hour. Troubles coming, or rescue from your troubles. Jesus won't tell you the day or the hour, but he tells you to trust him. Trust him today, then do the same tomorrow. To be watchful, to fight sin. And he promises that when the hour comes, he'll be there with you. And you'll have nothing to fear as long as you've stayed close to him. You don't know the day you'll die and stand before God in judgment. But you know you need to be ready. You need to be moving forward so that you're not found asleep. Now Jesus gives us a little story or picture in verse 34 and 35. 36 and 37. So here's a man, he's got a great estate. He's got servants. He's going on a far journey. He's going to be away for some time. So what does he do with all his estate, all his fields, all his cattle? Well, he puts them in the hand of his servants. And he says, look after this, but I'm going to be coming back suddenly. You won't hear a message, but make sure everything is running well when I come back. And so, what do they have to do? They have to keep watch. Because if he comes back and finds they're asleep and doing nothing, be bad news for those servants. Another time Jesus told a story like this, and he said, they'll be thrown out into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, Jesus is coming back again, but we don't know when. He's not going to tell us the day or the hour. He's told us that he's bringing the nations to himself, but he hasn't told us any more than that. I believe he's told us that there will be a terrible final falling away before that time comes. I don't believe he's told us any more than that. But he's coming back. And so what we need to do is to be watchful. Verse 37. What I say to you, said Jesus, I say to everyone. Watch. Spiritual watchfulness is a great duty. Do you really know your own heart? Do you really know what your own desires are? Do you really know why you say the things you say? Do you really know why you want the things that you want? Are you watching? Or is Satan getting a hold over you and leading you astray? Are your excuses really just excuses? Are you watching carefully? We live then in very great times. The Son of God is on his throne. He's got a church in all the world. He's the king. Have you bowed to him? Jesus is coming back one day. Will you be ready? Jesus will come for each one of us. If he hasn't returned first, he'll come for each one of us. You don't know the day of your death. You don't know how much longer you've got. How will Jesus find you if he comes back? Will he find you dead in sins and unconverted still? Will he find you sleeping and doing nothing for him? Will he find you awake and working? How will he find you?